Welcome, everyone. I'm Marilyn Stern, a Forum Fellow, and I'll serve as chair. Today, our speaker is Mr. Michel Gerfinkel, founder and president of the Jean-Jacques Rousseau Institute, a conservative think tank in France, and a Shulman Ginsberg Fellow at the Middle East Forum. Our topic is the recent jihadi terror attacks in France that killed 17. The French press described this massacre that murdered political cartoonists at a French satirical magazine, Charlie Hebdo, and Jewish shoppers at a kosher market as France's 9/11. Mr. Gerfinkel has written that this is a moment of truth for France and for French Jewry. But he also raised the question that if this moment of truth has unified much of France and awakening to the Islamist threat, will it also translate into policies sufficiently addressing it? Mr. Gerfinkel will discuss the attacks and its consequences. Mr. Gerfinkel?
Yes. Hello.
Please go ahead. Yes.
Okay. What has happened in France on January 9th, 10th, and 11th was completely unprecedented. It was really three sequence of three black days. It was really a black week for France as a country, as a nation. Let me first try to focus on the murder, the massacre of the journalist and cartoonist at the satirical weekly Charlie Hebdo. What must be understood is that most of the journalists and cartoonists that were shot by jihadist terrorists were grandfatherly or brotherly figures for most French people. The Charlie Hebdo team has been with French popular culture for something like 60 years, almost 70 years. You had it materialized in the 60s. Some of the people who have been killed by the beginning of January were actually octogenarians. These people were liked by half the nation, were disliked by the other half of the nation. But to most people in France, they were people who were part of the landscape. They were part of the family, and the fact that they were brutally murdered came as a terrible loss to everybody. In a further dimension is that there were icons on the one hand of the free press tradition, which is very old in France. It goes even to the times of the old monarchy. When France was an absolute monarchy, there was a saying that it was an absolute monarchy moderated by satirical songs. It was also these journalists were also the embodiment of the left-wing culture in France, that culture that was dominant probably since the students' revolution of the late 60s. The fact that they were so brutally murdered will have considerable consequences on the French national psyche. And finally, what has been very important is not just that the murderers were jihadists and chanted slogans like Allahu Akbar or other jihadist slogans while perpetrating the crimes, but that the Muslim community did not react in a very appropriate way. There were, of course, statements, perfunctory statements by Muslim leaders saying that, of course, this was a terrible thing, that people should not be murdered for their opinion. On the other hand, we know that there was a lot of insistence on the fact that the journalist and cartoonist Charlie Hebdo had indeed shown contempt for the figure of the Prophet Muhammad. And teachers at school were terrified by the fact that in every school where the majority of the pupils were Muslim, in fact, civic ceremonies like minutes of silence to pay respect to the memory of the murdered journalist was rejected by many pupils. Many pupils said they just deserved what happened to them, and so on. What will be the consequences? I think one should draw a distinction between the reaction of the French government and what the consequences will be in the long term. The French government so far has taken lots of measures just in order to ensure a modicum of public safety and in order to prevent new terrorist attacks. By doing that, the present government, the present administration of France, enjoys a very wide support from the public opinion. Now, what will happen in the longer run? I think that the entire French nation cannot deny anymore that the country is undergoing a demographic and ethnic disruption. There is clearly a polarization in France between, let's call it, the old French majority of the nation and an emerging and growing minority, Muslim minority, within the nation. Clearly, those two groups do not share the same values. And for years, the more conservative French have been conscious of that very ominous change in French society. But now I believe that very important part of the left-wing French nation, the left-wing elements in the French nation, are realizing that this is the new face of the country. When it comes to the Jewish community suffered an attack almost immediately after Charlie Hebdo, the satirical magazine. The massacre that took place at a kosher supermarket on the 11th was directly linked to the massacre at Charlie Hebdo, since the jihadists who perpetrated both attacks were related, were part of the same network, and coordinated to some extent their operations. As you probably know, there has been a tremendous increase of anti-Semitic attacks of all sorts in France, as in most European countries, over the past 12 months, or over the past 10 years. According to the French government, one half, 50% of all racist crimes and offenses in France are directed against the Jews, who amount to 1% or maybe a little bit more than 1% of the global population. So this is a very clear indication that something wrong is happening to the French Jewish community. And again, it cannot be denied that essentially anti-Semitic violence now stems from the Muslim community. I'm not saying that you do not have anti-Semitism in other groups within in the French society, but violence and therefore violence stems almost exclusively from the Muslim community nowadays. There has been a very interesting investigation on anti-Semitism conducted by a highly respected political foundation, the Foundation for Political Innovation, that shows that nowadays in France, whereas the global public opinion in France is not anti-Semitic, there is a rejection of anti-Semitism by a clear majority of the French people, but there are three subgroups within the French public opinion that are much more anti-Semitic than the average. And these three groups are the audience of the far-right National Front Party. On the other end of the political spectrum, the followers and supporters of the Left Front, which is a far-left political party. In fact, it's the Neo-Communist Party of France. And in the middle, the Muslim community. You have clearly an incidence of anti-Semitism, which is much higher in these three groups. And in some way, the most frightening evolution is within the Muslim community. According to that investigation, the more observant Muslims are in France, the more likely they are to profess radical anti-Semitic views. And we know still, according to the same investigation, that the numbers, the proportion of fully observant Muslims is growing in France. Some 10 or 15 years ago, the proportion of fully observant Muslims was somehow in the 30%. Now it's well over 40%, and it's coming close to 50%. So you have in France lots of Muslims who do not share anti-Semitic view and who do not condone violence against Jews or violence against non-Muslims, globally speaking, but you have a growing proportion of the Muslims who do profess very extreme anti-Semitic views and who express very negative feelings towards everybody who is non-Muslim. So this is, in a few words, what the present situation is. And again, I believe that the three Black Days have helped probably the French to realize what is going on, and beyond what the present administration of France is doing, what is really important is how it will affect the global outlook of French politics.
Ellen, can you please invite the callers to ask their questions?
Certainly. The question and answer period will now begin, and we invite your participation. Please note when there are no questions in the queue, the moderator will ask a question. To join the question and answer session queue, just press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you wish to identify yourself when your line has been unmuted, please do so. Please remember that if you have your phone on mute, take it off mute when you are selected to ask your question. So once again, to join the question and answer session queue, just press star 1 on your telephone keypad. And we'll take our first caller now. If you wish to identify yourself, please do so. Go ahead with your question, please.
This is Larry Gould. I have a two-part question. Would Mr. Garfinkel please comment about the decision of the Premier of France to discourage Netanyahu from coming to the march? And the second question is there a distinct increase in the interest of French Jews to leave France, especially to make Aliyah to Israel?
Well, if I understood your questions clearly, the first one was about the statements by Netanyahu calling the French Jews to make Aliyah to Israel, and the second part of your question was about whether French Jews are actually considering making Aliyah.
The first question related to the decision of the French premier to discourage Netanyahu from coming to France to be...
I see. I'm sorry, but the sound as I receive it is not very clear. Well, there has been actually, yes, you are right, there has been a very negative attitude of the French administration. Apparently, the French president and the French government, the French prime minister, were not enthusiastic about Prime Minister Netanyahu to come to France, as so many heads of state and government were, to take part in the marching and the ceremonies on the Sunday that followed the tragic events in Paris. There might be many reasons for that, but I believe that essentially the French administration is facing a kind of conundrum. On the one hand, it has to react forcefully to jihadist terrorism, and it has to protect every citizen that is threatened by jihadism in France, either intellectuals or Jews. On the other hand, the present administration of France is a socialist administration, and it's an open secret that it relies on the vote of the Muslim community, which amounts nowadays to about 10% of the global population, to win elections. So there was certainly an attempt on the part of the administration not to to bring in the Israeli factor in the present crisis. Now, Netanyahu decided whatever his motivation to come, and it was, I believe, only natural for the Prime Minister of the Jewish state to be present under such circumstances in Paris. And the French government saw to it to invite Mahmoud Abbas, the Palestinian Authority, as well. This move was certainly not well received by the Jewish community. Considering whether French Jews are leaving France or thinking in terms of Aliyah to Israel, the answer is clearly yes. There has been a tremendous increase of those French Jews who complete Aliyah, which means that they don't just talk about Aliyah, but go up to the end of the process and become actually citizens of Israel. Last year, in 2014, the expectations were of 5,000 French Jews completing the Aliyah process. In the end of the day, by December 31, you had 7,000 French Jews who completed the process. Now, in addition to that, you have those French Jews who are undergoing what I would call a kind of discreet aliyah, which means that, for instance, they buy apartments in Israel, they send their children to university in Israel, they come to Israel as a senior citizen without formally applying for citizenship for the time being, for various reasons. And I would say that probably you have as many people who undergo an informal immigration as people who undergo a formal immigration. In addition to that, you have those French Jews who are leaving the country to go to other countries, like the countries in North America or other countries in Europe or even Australia. Let me just tell you something. Since the massacres at the beginning of the month, the French government is deploying military personnel for the protection of every synagogue and every Jewish institution or Jewish school in France. So I can, for instance, tell you that children who go to French to French Jewish schools nowadays go to places that are under heavy military protection, soldiers with all kind of weapons, apparent weapons, and those soldiers even stay at the school, sleep on the school premises, and so on. And such a situation comes as a terrible shock, both for the children and for the families, even if these soldiers are, of course, present just in order to protect the Jewish kids and the Jewish family. But nevertheless, the feeling that now you live in a state of war just by being Jewish, you see, is something really quite terrible. And there is no question that Jewish emigration out of France, from France, is going to grow, and that a large part of that immigration will translate into Aliyah, into immigration to Israel.
Okay, we'll take the next question. Are there any other questioners in the queue, Ellen?
No, there are not at this time. If you'd like to ask a question, just press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Ms. Stern?
Yes. Michelle, French law bans promoting racial or religious hatred, but blasphemy is not illegal in France. And the blurred line between religious satire and hate speech has elicited accusations of a double standard by coming from the Muslim community. These accusations have challenged the status quo. Why has the French government failed so miserably in stressing the clear distinction between the two?
Well, the French government has been trying desperately to make clear that there is a difference between the concept of blasphemy and the concept of, for instance, denying the Holocaust or doing things like that. But the problem is that the crux of the matter is to impose, let's call it patriotic or democratic discipline on the Muslim community. And the Muslim community is unwilling to accept such discipline, and the main failure of the government has been not to be strong enough in its bargain with the Muslim community. Let me give you a very clear example. Education about the Holocaust is part of the school curriculum in France. There is no ambiguity about that. On the other hand, when teachers at French public government-sponsored schools are just teaching about the Holocaust, they face enormous opposition from the Muslim families, who in certain places in France amount to 90% of the school population. They face such an opposition and such threats that they prefer to drop the matter altogether. So the main issue that France will be facing in the near future and in the longer term is whether the Muslim community will be submitted to the same order and law discipline as the rest of the nation or not. So far, for many reasons, and including the fear for terrorism, the fear of a kind of rampant civil war in many cities in France, so far all the French government, not just the present socialist government, but previous conservative administration, have taken a very cautious, if not outright shy position. And this is the big question that any future French government will be facing. Either Muslims will be submitted to democratic republican law in France or not.
Thank you.
Thank you. If you'd like to ask a question, just press star 1 on your telephone keypad, and we'll take our next question now. If you'd like to identify yourself further when your line has been unmuted, please do so. Go ahead with your question.
Okay, this is Jerry Stern from Lower Merion. My question is, since the massacres earlier this month, there's been more and more talk about Marine Le Pen, the leader of the National Front Party, becoming the next prime minister of France. If that were to happen, how do you think minorities would fare under her administration, in particular the Muslim and Jewish minorities?
I would say that Marine Le Pen is an enigma to a lot of political observers. She has distanced herself in some way from the ways of her father. She is very cautious, and she has refrained from every blatant racist statements. She has expressed sympathy for the French Jewish community as the target of terrorism, and so on and so on. On the other hand, I believe that the National Front and Marine Le Pen are still perceived by the vast majority of the French people as not fully democratic and as dangerous or adventurous, whatever the word you would prefer. And keen observers have pointed to very disturbing aspects of both doctrine and behavior. The way she tends to say that, in fact, she is the only hope for the French nation, that nothing can really exist outside the National Front in terms of national salvation. This is clearly not the kind of democratic attitude that even conservative French people would have expected. I believe that some kind of distinction has to be drawn between the people who vote for the National Front, and I believe that most of those people are essentially French patriots, French people who are frightened by the changes occurring within the French society. They might be to a point a little bit xenophobic, but it's a xenophobia which is directed at a sub-community which is not always willing to integrate within the mainstream community. This is one thing. Then you have the National Front inner party, which is very different, which is much more dogmatic, which is taking a lot of stands on a lot of issues, from withdrawing from the European Union to being very antagonistic to the United States, to being supportive of Putin's Russia, and so on. You have something very disturbing about the National Front. So I believe that probably insofar as warning about the dangerous side effects of immigration has been a constant staple of the National Front, the National Front is deriving some benefits from the present situation. But I believe that in broader terms, there is still a vast majority of French people who are not prepared to buy Mrs. Le Pen and her party as the solution to the present problems that France is facing.
And how would you think the Muslims and the Jews would fare under her terms if she were to be elected?
That's a very interesting question. It's an interesting question because Marine Le Pen is, and here there is clearly a difference with her father. She is not taking a blatantly racist line. She says that French Jews are French citizens, and that those French Muslims who abide by French law, French Republican law, are French citizens as well. This is the official line of the National Front under Marine Le Pen. So theoretically, she is not a direct threat, neither to Jews nor Muslims. Now, she says also that the French Republic has to be fully secular and fully and should go back to the days of an exclusive nation state. And this two statements, of course, may run against the interest and even the way of life of both the Jewish and the Muslim community. What is at stake, for instance, is a whole range of religious observance from the halal and kosher food for Muslims and Jews, or the observance of Ramadan for Muslims and the Shabbat for Jews. It is also the whole issue of dual citizenship. Marine Le Pen says that if she is to be the president or the prime minister of France, she will stop and finish any provisions for dual citizenship, which will which may affect both Muslim and Jewish citizens in many ways. For instance, those French Jews who may settle in Israel, may migrate to Israel, may lose their French citizenship, and that may entail lots of various measures. I would say that by and large, the Jewish community remains very negative about the National Front and Mrs. Le Pen, whatever the differences between her and her father. As for the Muslims, it's a bit more complicated because on the one hand they know that a National Front government might hurt them, but on the other hand there is a kind of underground subterranean link between the most extreme elements, the neo-fascist elements within the National Front and either Islam or Arab or Turkish nationalism. So far, we know that there is a lot of ongoing discussions within the National Front. We know that the National Front is very much under the pressure of its grassroots audience that tends to be very much anti-Muslim and somehow pro-Jewish and pro-Israel. So there is a pressure coming from really the supporters of the National Front. But now, is the inner party willing to go this way, or is it still sticking to a more sympathetic approach to either Islamic fascism or Arab or Turkish nationalist fascism? This is a very interesting question.
Thank you. I wanted to mention that we are past our half hour, and would you be able to take one more question that's in the queue? Michelle,
certainly.
Do you have time? Yes, okay.
Yes, certainly.
Please, Ellen, if you could please introduce one more question.
Thank you. We'll take our next question now. Please identify yourself further if you wish to do so.
I'm Georgette Galbard. Thank you for the information on Marine Le Pen. I wanted to ask you about that. But given that you talked about the heavy security for the Jews now and Prime Minister Valls making such pleading overtures, the French, of course, voted against Israel recently at the UN in support of Abbas. And I want to know why the Jews should feel comfortable at all with France if that's the way they are voting. That's the critical thing of all.
The French Jews are not feeling comfortable at all with the present state of French politics. There is no question whatsoever anymore about that. The vast majority of French Jews are very much disappointed either by the left or the right. Maybe there is a little bit more support for Nicolas Sarkozy and the Conservative Party, but even Sarkozy and the Conservatives have disappointed the Jewish community, either in terms of being subservient to political Islam or in their attitudes towards Israel and their support for the Palestinian organizations. So there is clearly a feeling of betrayal among French Jews. French Jews are, by and large, extremely patriotic, have proved that they are extremely faithful to France as a nation. But now there is a feeling that not much can be expected from the French political class anymore. And this is one of the main reasons why probably so many French Jews are undertaking emigration out of the country. I must say that when you take the French population at large, you are quite surprised to realize that for the first time in their history, the French at large are considering emigrating to other countries. A large proportion of the youth in France, for instance, is thinking now in terms of moving to another country, United States, Canada, England, Germany, and so on. Such things never existed in France. You have no reason. You have no reason to leave France, a country with a fantastic welfare state, with a fantastic culture, with a great educational system, with a lot of very positive aspects. But now, for the first time in its history, France is experiencing such a situation that many of its citizens are thinking in terms of emigration, either for themselves or because they are worried about their children. So within that context, French Jews can be described as being a little bit more disappointed, a little bit more worried about their future and the future of their children. And again, nobody is going to deny that there is a very strong move towards immigration out of France now among French Jews. It is openly discussed in the national press. It has been the cover story of a lot of mainstream magazines. A lot of things have been said about that. The most infamous statement probably was made by the director, the chief editor of L'Express, very important weekly news magazine, last summer. He wrote a very bizarre editorial column saying that those Jews that were leaving France for Israel were betraying those who were staying behind, which is logically a complete nonsense, because if you betray the people who stay behind, that means that there is a real danger even for those who stay behind. So what's the point of being angry at those who in front of such a danger have made the decision to emigrate to another country? But again, the fact that there is now a phenomenon of Jewish immigration out of France cannot be denied and is not denied.
No, but I'm sorry. I really want to, I'm sorry if I wasn't clear, but was that vote to appease the Muslim population, as you said? Was it because the French wanted it that way? Or was it just simply that they don't like Israel?
You mean the vote at the United Nations? This is what you have in about the Palestine state. This was the decision in France. The parliament, the present National Assembly of France, is dominated by the left. The left throughout Europe is anti-Israel. You know, this is a fact. The only exception probably is Germany, where the Social Democratic Party is not really anti-Israel, is not as much anti-Israel as in other countries. But in the rest of Europe, from the Labour Party in England to the Socialist Party in France to the Social Democratic Parties in Scandinavia, the left is against Israel. The present National Assembly of France is dominated by the left. Those members of the National Assembly that voted against the recognition of the state of Palestine were the conservative minority within the National Assembly. If a new assembly is to be elected today, there will be an overwhelming conservative majority, probably this conservative majority would not endorse recognition of the Palestinian or whatever is described as the Palestinian state. But for the time being, the National Assembly is dominated by the Socialists. Now, the government of France has a very special constitution, which is a blend of the traditional parliamentary system and a strong presidential element. So under the present constitution of France, decisions in terms of foreign and defense policy are entirely the preserve of the president and the prime minister and the cabinet. So the government, if the government, for instance, voted, so far the French government has not extended recognition to the so-called state of Palestine as a sovereign country. But on the other hand, the same administration, the same government voted at the United, allowed the French representative or mandated the French representative of the United Nations to approve of the recognition of a Palestinian state. This is very contradictory, and this, in fact, goes back to what I said earlier. There is a conundrum for the socialist administration. It may not be entirely the French administration of France, and especially the president and the prime minister, may not be entirely anti-Israel. The prime minister may even be as much pro-Israel as a socialist leader can be in Europe today. But on the other hand, they have to take in account the fact that they depend on the Muslim vote to be re-elected or even to survive politically wise. So this is the situation nowadays. Whether it's likely to change, I don't know. I would say that the tremendous long-term effects of the three black days may initiate some kind of evolution regarding Israel. The fact that the same people attack Israel and murder people in Paris is more widely accepted now than it used to be even a few weeks ago.
Thank you, Mr. Gerfinkel. I'm sorry that we've reached the end of our extended time. The Middle East Forum would like to thank our participants and extend our thanks to Mr. Michel Gerfinkel. This concludes our conference call.